ahead and pray. I spent a lot of time talking, but I'm going to get it in these next few minutes. Let me go ahead and pray. Father, we glorify, we magnify you, we lift you up, we exalt you. We're excited about this time. We have gathered together early in the morning. We're not just going through the motions. We are serious about our relationship with you. We're serious about growing. We're serious about consecration. We're serious about this 50 days of consecration. And Father, your word says if we draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to us. And I believe it is like the scene with the prodigal son, that when the father saw him afar off and saw him coming toward, he ran to the son, embraced him. I believe that's exactly what it is. Embraced him, kissed him. God, I believe that you're kissing us with your presence as we're pushing in and pressing in. You're running towards us. You're telling us, this is what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for you to consecrate yourself. I've been waiting for you to be serious about me. I've been waiting for you to pursue me, to crave me, to seek me, to need me. I've been waiting for this, and now I'm going to give you more than you could ever expect. I'm going to overwhelm you with my goodness. I'm going to consume you with fire. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for flooding us, not just this time, but the entire 50 days of consecration, that every day gets greater and greater. We go deeper and deeper in you, and we hit that 50th day. We already anticipate what it's going to be like. Holy Spirit, you're going to flood that room. You're going to flood our hearts, Lord. So I thank you that you are preparing us even for that moment. You are changing our lives and rearranging our lives. You're helping us be what you've called us to be. So Father, as we press into this time for this next few minutes, I pray that you would give us fresh revelation. I thank you that it's the word straight from the throne of heaven being poured upon this time. Holy Spirit, kiss us with your presence. Manifest yourself wherever the folks are watching, whether they're watching now, whether they watch later, whether they rewatch it. I pray that each time it will be a dynamic time where, Holy Spirit, you would literally manifest yourself. We pray for that Shekinah glory that would flood our hearts and flood our minds. So, Lord God, have your way in this time. I'm excited about your word. I thank you that when I deliver your word, it will be delivered with clarity, it will be received with understanding, and it will be mixed with faith. And we commit to doing your word because we're not just hearers only, but we're doers of your word. So give us insight, wisdom, knowledge, and revelation, Lord God. Let it come through with clarity, God, and we're excited about it. And Father, it's your service prayer that you let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you're my strength and my redeemer. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you're ready, I want you to put in the comment section, I'm ready. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Put in the comment section, I'm ready. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. This is a series. This Friday series is just for this Friday. And I promise you, it is going to change. Listen, you better hear what I'm about to say. Ooh, I'm about to reach you the screen and grab you. Say, listen, listen, listen. This is about to change your life forever. You are about to be empowered on a whole nother level, a level that you never have. Because a lot of times we look at this passage of scripture and we kind of focus on a portion of it, but we don't go deep into it. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I got my old school Bible, and hopefully this helps me give a little mercy in how fast I go. But I got to go quick. I got to go quick. And because I got 7 weeks to do it, 6 weeks to do it, I don't have to cram it all in, but I got to get a good amount in right now. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Here we go, Ephesians 6, 10. And this is what it says. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 10, here it goes. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Lord's power is the ultimate power. That's the ultimate power. You may have a strong personality. You may be strong physically. You may be strong mentally, educated, you know, with your education, you know, it's all that kind of stuff. And all that stuff is good and it's necessary. But the strongest power is God's power. And it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Look what it says, verse number 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse number 13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So then I want to emphasize verse number 13. I want to read the Amplified Classic because it pulls out something. It says, therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place. Man, that's so much. This is the series title for the next 6 or 7 weeks, and that's this right. This is it right here. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Somebody put that in the comment section. Stand your ground. I got to go. Stand your ground. I got to roll. Stand your ground. Listen, the devil would like nothing better than to take you out. The devil would like nothing better than to not just ruin your day, but ruin your life, ruin your family, ruin your marriage, ruin your relationships, mess up your career. That's what the enemy wants to do. The devil wants to cause havoc, wreak havoc in your life, and he would love nothing better than to take you out, to mess with your life, to take away your peace. Let me show you how wicked and how vicious his attack is in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, look what it says in John chapter 10. And I'm reading, and you see that we're not doing a bunch of putting the scriptures on the screen, all that kind of stuff. Some of you got to, if you're able, I know some of you guys getting ready for work, you're driving, so you're listening, that's fine. But some of you that can be sitting in front of your scriptures, sitting in front of your Bible, bless you, Pastor Beaumont, love you, sir. Man, known this man for over 40 years, part of, now he's a pastor in his own church. He was part of LCM, grew up under my brother, Dr. Reginald Woods. Bless you, man of God. I'm going to start calling out names because then I'm going to be all over the place, but bless you, sir. And so listen, wonderful, precious man of God, love him. So listen, we don't have a whole bunch of scriptures on the screen. So if you are able to have your Bible in front of you, that's what you want to do. I want to show you the devil's vicious attack. John 10:10, you know what it says? It says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The Common English Bible says it this way. It says the thief enters only to steal, kill, and destroy. The only reason why the devil comes around, comes in your life, presents things to you with the end game to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes in different forms. He may come in the form of a drink or a drug or, a person. I'm going to tell you, the devil will send a person in a second. In a hot second, you will be doing fine, doing well, and then all of a sudden, the devil will send somebody to infiltrate your life. And the way that they come in so slick and so whatever the case may be. So understand the devil comes. The only reason why he comes is to kill, steal, and destroy. That is it. Nothing vicious, not to make friends with you, not to be partners with you, but to kill, steal, and destroy. The Passion Translation says this way. It says a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. One thing in mind, steal, slaughter, and destroy. That's what the devil wants to do. He's not here to be buddy-buddy with you, even though he may come to you that way. The Bible calls him an angel of light, right? The Bible even said that when he approached Eve, he was cunning and crafty. And then let me show you another scripture. It's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, it said your adversary, not your friend, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The devil wants to devour you. He's not here to be buddy-buddy with you. And Luke chapter 22, you know, I can spend a lot of time talking about the way that the devil comes and how people get tricked, the tomfoolery. Luke chapter 22, verse number 31 says this, and the Lord said to Simon, 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 behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He wants to have you, sift you, separate you from God and the things of God. That's what the devil wants to do. So you see this right here. The enemy is after the people of God, mainly because he hates God, and because you're a lover of God, he hates you. Not trying to be kind, not trying to be cool, not trying to get along. The devil is not like Christians. Christians take the day off. Christians are so lukewarm. Some Christians don't open up their Bible until they come on a Sunday morning, and then they don't open up the Bible because they don't bring their Bible. They sit there, they listen to me. They want me to preach. They want to see the scriptures up on the screen. The devil don't play that. The devil is a 100% devil. The devil is a 24/7 devil. He's full time in what he does. Christians are casual in what they do. But you better understand how vicious the enemy is. So the question becomes, Pastor, well, how do I deal with it? What do I do? Do I just stay there? Do I just sit there? Absolutely not. Listen to this. God has provided you with the tools, the resources, and the equipment necessary to successfully stand your ground. Let me say that again. God has provided you with the tools, the resources, and the equipment necessary to successfully stand your ground. I'm not talking about being punked by the devil. I'm talking about punking the devil. I'm not talking about being punked by the devil. I'm talking about punking the devil. I'm talking about being aggressive and being assertive and not being a victim, but pursuing, going after. Jesus tormented demons. You see that throughout the scripture. He tormented demons. Jesus was never afraid of the devil. He tormented demons. And Jesus said the same things he did, we'll do also and even greater. I expect us to walk in that same grace, that same anointing, that same power. So, Pastor, what do we do? Well, here we go. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. I want to go back to that. Ooh-wee. Somebody put ooh-wee in there. How do you spell it? Ooh-wee, O-O-H, and then W-E-E. Put ooh-wee. Here we go, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Y'all acting up this morning. Ephesians 6, 10. Let me go back to it. Let me go back to it. Oh, I love to get in the word. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let me read something to you. I want to read something to you out of the MacArthur study Bible. Great resource I got recently. Love this Bible. When it talks about being strong in the Lord. Let me see if it is what I said. Man, this is so awesome. Oh, I wish I had an hour with you all, really. Just to really sit down. I love when I could just sit here, teach, open up the Bible. I have a bunch of notes and just be able to flow. But I know some of y'all got to go to work and all that kind of stuff. So let me read this real fast. What John MacArthur said about Ephesians 6:10. He said this. He said, ultimately, Satan's power over Christians is already broken. And the great war is won through Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, which forever conquered the power of sin and death. I love that. However, in life on earth, battles of temptation go on regularly. The Lord's power, the strength of his spirit, and the force of biblical truth are required for victory. Oh my goodness, I love that. The devil's been defeated. In other words, his power and his authority has been taken to the point to where he can't overwhelm you, but he can trick you. He has no more power other than what you give him. And you can put, and I'm not talking about, you know, some of the things that we see when it comes to, you know, accidents and all that kind of stuff. I'm just in this pocket right now, even though there's authority over certain things. I'm talking about this pocket of this temptation coming after you, things that overwhelm you. Right. And so that's why it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Come on, we're trying to figure out how do we deal with the onslaught? How do we stand our ground? Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord, power of his might. Verse number 10, verse number 11. Here goes. It says, put on the whole arm of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I just want to pull this up real fast because I think that the Amplified Classic probably gives a little bit more insight. Not getting too much into it because we got 6-7 weeks to deal with it. It says, put on the whole God's whole armor. I read Amplified Classic. Ephesians 6:10, put on the whole armor, the armor of heavy armed soldiers with God's supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. The wiles, the tricks, the schemes. Remember what it says in Genesis chapter 3, that the serpent was more subtile. That means cunning, crafty. See, this is the thing. You know, a lot of times we say the devil is stupid, and he is because we hate him. The devil is stupid, but he's not ignorant. He's been around a whole lot longer than you and I have. He's seen a whole lot more than you and I have. And he knows what buttons to push for each individual. He's strategic, man. And so this is saying, how do you stand up against the tricks, the schemes, the wiles, the cunning craftiness? That's what he tells us. Put on the whole armor of God. That's how we do it. And it says, why? Why do we need to put on the whole armor of God? So that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. So that we can stand. So that we can stand our ground. That's why you wear the armor of God. So you can stand your ground. So you won't be defeated. Why? Because it says in verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is what we're fighting. This is why we got to have the armor of God for this purpose right here. The wiles of the devil, the tricks, the scheme, his strategy, where he's coming at you. How's he coming at you? Through principalities, powers, rules of the darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Your fight is not against your neighbor. Your fight is not against your husband, not against your wife, not against your cousin, not against your boss. The devil just wants to distract you. He wants to distract you from the real fight. So he has you mad at your boss. Man, come on now. We're going to get into this. Verse number 13, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. So if you don't have the whole armor of God, you haven't done everything it requires to stand. And it says, put on the whole armor of God. Okay, so let's get into this. Just give an introduction to this. A lot of times we quote Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord, power of God. But we don't get into the whole armor of God. What we're going to be doing over the next 6 or 7 weeks is looking at each piece of armor. It is the thing that you use to defeat the devil. You're trying to fight the devil and you don't have all your armor on. It says put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. It's like if a football player shows up, got a shoulder pads on and pads for the legs, got the ankles taped and wrist taped and all that kind of stuff, braces and all that stuff, but forgets his helmet. You can't, the referee, if you come out with that helmet, you're going to be like, go back on that sideline. You ain't ready to fight. You ain't ready to engage in battle. We got to have a great understanding, a theological understanding, a deep understanding of the armor of God. Pastor, why do we need to have that? Because you have to have the knowledge of this, have faith in this, but you cannot, your faith does not exceed your knowledge. I was going to go to it. Matter of fact, I'll go to it real fast. You don't have to turn there. Because I'm going to ask you probably for about 3 extra minutes. I'm going to try to finish about 6:30, but give me a little grace. Maybe 6:30, 6:35. And of course, if you had to get off, that's fine. You got to watch it later. That's fine. But I want to, let me share this really fast. Romans chapter 10. Why do we need to know this, Pastor? Why is it important? Well, I'm going to show you two scriptures. Why? Romans chapter 10. And this is when it talks about salvation, but I want to pull out the principle. Romans chapter 10, verse number 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then it says this, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? In other words, people, how can they call on Jesus if they don't know who he is? They haven't heard about him. So understand that your faith cannot exceed your knowledge. You got to know. The reason why maybe you haven't thought about you're incomplete with your armor is because you don't know about the armor. You know somewhat of it. If you've been around the body of Christ for some time, you've heard about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, but you really don't know what that means. You really don't have a great insight and depth of what that means. That's what we'll be dealing with on about these 30, 35 minutes every Friday morning. We're going to get into this. I'm telling you, this revolutionize your life is going to change your life. Some of you have been getting punched, beat, kicked, all that stuff, stabbed by the devil because you don't have your armor. You don't have your protection. You've got to understand how to withstand, how to stand your ground, how to overcome, how to defeat the devil. We're going to be looking at the whole armor of God. My God, a lot of believers aren't operating in the fullness of it. It's a benefit. It's a weaponry from God. It says put on the whole armor of God, from God. This is God's tools, his equipment. This is what he's given us to fight the enemy. We think that our crying and our whining and God just have pity on me and devil, please just leave me alone. Man, please. It doesn't work that way. And I won't go there, but if Hosea 4:6 said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject them. This is really talking about you don't want to know. Sometimes we're too lazy to pursue, but not here. We're going to get into this. So that's why we need to understand this. So let me just read verses 14 to 18 to kind of just go over. Then I'm going to close this out. And back in Ephesians chapter 6, let me just tell you what we'll be looking at over the next several weeks here. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're not interested in learning this, don't be whining. Don't be coming to me whining. people come to pastors. Listen, people come to pastors. Pastor Beaumont, you can tell us. People come to pastors like we got some like a cape and a magic potion. Like, you know what I'm saying? Listen, you have the power. The Spirit of God dwells in you. It didn't say go get your pastor's armor. It says put on the whole armor. You put on the armor of God. My armor doesn't fit you because it's not for you. Just like when King Saul tried to give David his armor. He said, man, this stuff don't work for me. You put on the armor of God. So what does it say? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. I'm looking at verse 14 to 18. It says, therefore, here goes the armor. Therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having a breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, that you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. All the fiery darts of the wicked. Take on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You see that right there? Go ahead and put that that photo up, that visual up. Go ahead and put that visual up so they can see. That's your armor. That's your armor right there. That's what we're going to be dealing with. It says, it's talking about truth, righteousness, gospel of peace, faith, salvation, sword of the Spirit, and prayer. Let me say it again. Truth, righteousness, gospel of peace, faith, salvation, the word of God, and prayer. That's your weaponry. That's God's armor. That's what you use in this fight, in this battle. That's what you use. You can go ahead and pull that down because I'm about to close it out. That's what you use right there. You've got to understand truth. You got to understand salvation. You got to understand righteousness. These are game changers. These are game changers. Prayer, salvation, the word. These are things that we neglect. And then we're wondering why the devil is beating us all upside the head, why we never seem to get a break. You know why? Because you're on the defensive. You're guarding. This is stuff to fight, man. That sword, the word of God, cut the devil all up. Cut the devil up, cut your situation up, cut your flesh up that's trying to rule over you. Game changer. We're going to get into this. We're going to get into this, find out the weaponry that we have, understand it, get the theology behind it, how to use it, how to apply it, how to walk in it. Your life will never be the same. After this several weeks, your life will never be the same. You'll never be a pitiful Christian again. You'll be a powerful Christian. I promise you, because that's what God promises you. I'm excited about it. Thank you so much for joining for this quick word here on a Friday morning. I hope it blessed your heart. Get back next Friday. Do not miss a Friday. If push comes to shove, you have to miss a Friday live. Go back and watch it on Facebook or on YouTube. And especially if you are getting ready for work, you're driving, go back, get your Bible, take notes, man, and equip yourself. Become a student of the word. This is a great little way to do it, all right, in this 30 minutes. I love you all. Thank you so much for joining, and I'll see you on Sunday. Peace.